through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Morena, Tim.
Kia ora.
How are you?
I'm good.
Twice in 1 week, family on the show is always a nice treat. How's it going?
Man, in my head, I totally separated that out.
I know.
A, it was in studio, and B, it was a few days ago, so it's just wiped from my memory.
It's good to be talking about the media with you, though. What is going on out there?
Well, I'd like to lead with a career. Actually, before I say anything, if I just like go silent for a bit, it means that I am in the middle of a coughing fit. Unfortunately, off the back of COVID, I've developed a little bit of a cough. So if I just go dead, I'm just trying to not expose you to the disgusting spluttering sound that's going on at my end. Anyway, hey, listen, I want to kick off with a bit of a correction, because last time I was on was a couple of weeks ago, and I was speaking about the chief executive of the Film Commission, who's got a project that originally was a film. The script was sitting around for ages. It's being developed as a TV series now, but it's very controversial because it looks like it's getting developed while he is the sitting chief executive of the Film Commission. In that piece that I said a couple of weeks ago, I said that the application for the project has gone into the New Zealand Film Commission Premium Production Fund. That is not confirmed yet. We don't know if that's the case.
Gotcha.
That's what Sparta is asking about. If none of this makes sense to you, have a listen to the last time I was on. It's on the BFM podcast. It's a very interesting story.
Totally.
I encourage people to have a little Google around. The spin-off has written some very illuminating stuff about what's going on with that whole search. But anyway, just need to say that up top.
Cool as.
Okay, so, man, I'm trying to look for some positive stuff. I guess you can't do that when you're talking about the news, eh? Well, look, here's the first thing. So Disney Plus, right? They're huge.
They're huge, yeah. Heard of them before, yes.
Earlier this week, they unveiled their debut Australia and New Zealand slate. This means that they are now commissioning shows in our region, which is incredibly exciting.
Whoa, that's cool.
1 in 10 New Zealanders watch Disney Plus, which is insanely high considering it is a paid-for streaming service. For example, TVNZ2, 14% of people watch that, and 10% of people have exposure to Disney Plus in this country. So that's pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
They have announced 3 dramas, 4 documentaries, 2 lifestyle/general factual entertainment series. But here's the kicker.
Ooh.
None of them are in New Zealand.
Oh,
none
hell.
Of them are being made here. It's called Australia, New Zealand, but it is all Australia.
Oh.
Duncan Greaves done a good write-up about this. And I will hasten to add that apparently they do have a second announcement coming quite soon.
Fingers crossed.
Who knows what's in that. But as Duncan writes in the spin-off, this indicates exactly the kind of future we're walking into, one in which our viewing time is dominated by excellent shows made all over the world on massive global platforms with very little made here for here. This also comes after, a little over a week ago, Studio Canal announced that they've got an Australian New Zealand region sort of production project, and they've called the project Kangaroo, which I think signals where their focus is going to lie.
We love to be removed from the map of the world.
It's just lazy.
Isn't there that long, long, long Twitter thread dedicated to maps that have literally not drawn New Zealand onto it?
Yeah, there's a pretty big subreddit about it. So this whole thing's pretty interesting because, for me, what it sort of communicates is that the fact that they're calling these regional projects Australia, New Zealand, it does indicate to me that our country has some mind share. So people want to kind of like drop the label of New Zealand.
Hard out.
But they're not committing to making stuff here. They're not making stuff here at this point.
It's really sad.
And there has... It is. And there has been a lot of the conversation about this, really, by people who are in the screen industry, and some interesting ideas floated, not least of which is some sort of compulsion by the government that if you're going to operate here with these big, very profitable streaming platforms, you have to have some sort of commitment to local production here, or at least helping the local industry in some way, whether that's, you know, running symposiums or, you know, you have to accept a certain number of pitches to look at for development or something like that. But at the moment, there is just, there's nothing that they're compelled to do.
The New Zealand, subsequent New Zealand governments, predominantly in the National era of the last sort of, like, you know, couple of decades, have had not necessarily the most healthy relationship with the film industry and the television industry in New Zealand. There's been some strange laws that we've talked about on this show in various ways before. Is this all part of the same conversation, do you reckon, Tim? Are we having, like, another version of this, you know, the rights and the protections for our industry workers aren't very good here, but also it's really hard to get a project off the ground? Is this all part of the same chat?
Yeah, I think it is. I think this is a continuation of the conversation that happens around stuff like the Hobbit law. It is a little bit different, and, you know, it occupies a slightly different space.
Yeah.
I would say it's like slightly less damning, but it is sort of equally as damaging in terms of national identity and how we produce culture and how we tell our own stories, which, you know, is stuff that, for people who kind of aren't in the creative arts, it sounds very wanky, but it is really important that we're able to sort of reflect our own national identity back at us and tell us who we are, because really, you know, quite damaging things start to happen when you lose that ability.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what happens when the big dogs come here and shovel up all the money and don't help out. Anyway.
Next topic. What else is in the fun world of media this week, Tim?
Well, the platform launched its Talkback streaming channel on Monday. I tuned in briefly, and I got to say, just as, you know, like a podcaster and amateur audio dude, the sound quality, not fantastic, guys. You need a bit more baffling in that studio. It's very echoey. But anyway, Radio New Zealand's Colin Peacock, who does Media Watch, he clearly has done the mahi and listened to a whole bunch of it through the first few days. He had a interview with the founder and on-air host, Sean Plunkett. The thing to know about the platform is their whole branding, their whole raison d'etre is they're like anti-cancel culture. They're very proudly not getting any government funding. They've got this ad that keeps running, which says, you know, if you've got any issue with anything that you've heard on air or you find it offensive, tough, ring us on the Talkback line and talk about it. They sell t-shirts to raise money for the outfit that just say the resistance on it. It's never super clear what the resistance to, but They're these kind of like, I put this in quotation marks because it's the brand rather than the thing, but they're like big free speech guys, right?
Yeah.
And so based on the first few days of listening, Colin Peacock from RNZ had this chat to Sean Plunkett and put it to him that it sounds like everyone's just ringing to agree with the hosts and there's not a lot of wide ranging free speech that's actually going on air. And Plunkett's response to this kind of cracked me up because he said that it's the responsibility of people who disagree with the opinions being expressed to jump on air and ring in and debate these hosts because diversity of opinions
debate
will lead to a greater conversation. Which I just, it's such a funny angle to take because especially like Sean Plunkett's use of the word diversity and accepting that diversity of opinion would be a good thing. And then it's sort of like, laid that, if you lay that against his on-air lineup of, you know, Sean Plunkett, Martin Devlin, Michael Laws, these people who just occupy a very thin space of ideology and political leanings on the spectrum. Annie O'Brien was actually filling in for Michael Laws this week because Michael Laws has got COVID at the moment and unsurprisingly spent a not insignificant amount of on-air time, as did Sean Plunkett, putting forward an opinion that Nadia Lim is somehow the one in the wrong Simon Henry stuff, describing a photo of her and her company's own prospectus as Eurasian fluff. And both Sean and Annie somehow arranged an argument that Nadia is the one to blame for this.
So, oh my God.
Real cool shit going on over there, guys. Just real cool shit.
So that's the platform, living up to, I think, most people's expectations of it.
Yeah. There was some research that came out earlier this week. I won't get into this one too much, but it was all around misinformation and the explosion of misinformation from the protests that happened earlier this year, or occupation, whatever you want to call it, at Parliament. This was led by an outfit called the Disinformation Project, and a lot of the main media outlet stuff in the Herald, etc., have done some good write-ups on this. Basically, core findings from this is that there is a small number of people who are responsible for the majority of misinformation being created and broadcast. The research identified that there are basically 12 key people who were pumping out like the majority of the information that these protesters were mainlining over that period. And the other key finding was that the consumption of that sort of information just skyrocketed in March and has had a bit of a tail to it. For example, here's a stat. 73% of the interactions within the protesters' own Facebook ecology, what they're calling it, was within these 12 figureheads' accounts. So 73% that they identified was happening within 12 accounts.
Crikey, that's that report people can read, eh? You can go and have a read about that if you want to
track down the core study itself. I couldn't find it immediately, but it's referenced a lot in the news. It's probably out there.
Cool.
But hey, at least the findings are. Tim, and one shorter thing.
Oh, yeah, we got very short time for that. Yep. Yeah, go
Budget
on.
Budget day tomorrow. We're going to get info about the TVNZ. Oh, it's Thursday. True.
It's Thursday.
We're going to get more info about the TVNZ RNZ merger.
Oh, true. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll be, I'm sure, talking about that one next week. Thank you, Tim. Have a lovely, lovely day. And hope that coughing subsides for you soon. We'll see you next week.
Ka kite.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.